Growing up in East Germany must have been really difficult. When the Berlin Wall collapsed in 1989, teenage Marcus decided to enjoy his newly found freedom in strange and exciting ways that led him down some dark roads. Then, one day, he found an intriguing book that changed his life forever. Today, we will hear Marcus' story firsthand and see how God has the power to change lives right here on Revival for Mission. Welcome back. You're watching Revival for Mission. We believe we are in the middle of a great battle, a battle for the human heart. And many times the enemy of souls, Satan, as he's called in the Bible, leads people to a dark path. Ideologies that do not help and, in fact, take away the human value. And this is the story we'll talk about today. Pastor Wilson, we have seen many times how the enemy uses literature and he uses books and he uses media to lead people to a dark path. But God also uses the same media to bring people back to him. You've seen this throughout your life.
You know, Pastor Sam, actually literature, Christian literature, and impressive, helpful literature, and also people's coaching and helping others is so instrumental in having people find direction in life and true meaning in life, their identity in life. Today we're going to be talking about a fascinating situation where someone was led in a certain direction because of a confrontation, because of all kinds of things that created an environment in his own life that turned him away from things that were of eternal value, of thinking about things that were honest and true and good, and thinking about things that were somber and dark and angry. And you know, God wants us to be rejoicing. That's what he tells us. He wants us to be happy because we have a hope in Christ. And what a blessing it is to listen to beautiful Christian music, as you will do right now.
Welcome back. This is Revival for Mission. It's time to ask some questions of a very special guest we have today, Marcus Kuchba. Welcome to Revival for Mission, Marcus. You grew up in East Germany. This is the former Soviet Union who ruled there. How was it growing up in East Germany at the time?
Well, I mean, it was not too easy, especially for somebody who was born into an Adventist family and trying to keep the Sabbath. So I can remember how much my parents struggled to keep me off on Sabbath, since we had school on Sabbath. And it was always a tricky thing, because if you were not really following the rules of the government, you could become trouble very soon. I mean, you could become into trouble very soon. So my parents at school, for instance, tried to make a compromise. On Sabbath morning, I had to go to school for 2 hours, and then they picked me up to go to worship. And this way, it worked somehow. But then you had some of the teachers, they were not too happy about what you believed. And so it was not too easy in school. So these teachers tried to, yeah, work on your grades in a bad way. But this was okay. I mean, if you are a kid, you're growing up in this environment, and for you, this is just normal. But for my parents, I guess it was much more difficult. So if you look at my father, he studied in school, he made his final exams, everything. He applied to go to the university in Leipzig, and they told him, yes, you can study in Leipzig. And then they called him to come to the army. And he told them, you know what? I will not take a weapon. Why you will not take a weapon? I mean, this is against the laws of God. I will not kill somebody, so I will not carry a weapon with me. And they had a 2 hour discussion, and at the end, he left the room, and he got a letter from the university. We are so sorry, but your place, I mean, to study is canceled. We are sorry. We don't have a place for you. And then the life goes on like this. And yeah, you had to live with it. It was okay as long as you were not fighting against the system itself. But for the church itself, I mean, I was young at this time, but people told me we had constantly people in our church service we didn't know. So these people came from the so-called Stasi. That's what we call them, our security police in the German Democratic Republic, and they checked what you did. So are you singing the right things? What is in your songs? What you are preaching from the pulpit? And if you did something wrong, you got in trouble. So that's how it worked at this time. But not everything was bad, to be honest with you. So for us as kids in the school, if you had the strengths, the government or the school, your teachers were looking for these strengths, and then they try to help you to develop the strengths as best as you can. And so you were in the school in the morning and in the afternoon, and education was most of your time. So that's life in East Germany. And I mean, as you grow and you realize you are locked into a country, then you are starting to get unsatisfied, because I mean, there are pictures of the wonderful Alps here in Europe, and you know, you will never be there. You will never see it in reality. You can never travel to the United States. And then when you get older, you realize you are like in a prison, and this is not nice.
Now, Marcus, that was the setting now that you were growing up in. But then something happened in 1989 that shook the entire political setting. How did that affect you when the Berlin Wall began to tumble down and things began to open up? People were unsure as to what was really going to happen. How did that affect your daily life, and how did it affect the direction in which your life took?
I mean, this was really, I mean, an out of the blue experience. So the borders opened overnight and you was free to go wherever you want. I mean, Just think about going back as a young people to school. Your teachers, what was right yesterday was wrong today. So it was a kind of chaos because nobody knew what is okay, what is correct today. And the whole world was just, I mean, falling apart for us. But for the young people, it was exciting. Now I was free. The teacher or whoever was in the government or in these institutions were not able to persecute you for anything. So you could do whatever you think. And the first time in my life, I could say, I'm a German. I'm not a Russian. And I became proud of being a German. And so new things came into our area. There was a fighting sport club. I was always looking, I watched these movies of Bruce Lee, and I was so looking forward to learn this martial arts, to fight and to control my body. So then the first club came, I joined the club, and I was going to school in the morning and every day in the afternoon, every day I was training for about 3 to 5 hours. And on the weekends, I went to special camps to become better. So that was part of my experience. And I really loved this. And then other things came in we never had before. In the German Democratic Republic, we didn't have pornography. We didn't have really crime and these things. And that was new. And we had to deal with this. And so that was you. By itself, I mean, myself was on a search for identity, and I didn't know which way to go at this time. It was totally new, everything.
And you were then drifting from that into a kind of a neo-Nazi setting. How could that have happened, and what developed, and then what changed your life after that?
Yeah, well, as the wall came down, I dropped out of church because church didn't give me anything anymore. When people ask me in school, why you are a Seventh-day Adventist and what's the difference to, any other denomination? So I told them, I can tell you, it's we don't eat pork, we don't baptize kids, and we go to church on Sabbath. That's a Seventh-day Adventist. So there was no hold for me. It didn't make any sense. And then on one day, as we enjoyed our new freedom, a Turkish kid came to us. So first Turkish people I met in my life, and I can't translate into English what he said to me, but it was really bad. And I became mad with him because now I'm a German and he was talking in such a way to me in my own new country. And that was not just to me, that was also to a couple of friends of mine. And so we started to think we have to clean our area from these people. We have to clean our area from trucks and drug dealers. And whatever is bad for our nation, we have to clean off. So it started this way.
So you got into this neo-Nazi martial arts setting that was very dogmatic. And then one day you saw a book. It was a book that changed your life, and it was I think your mother's book, wasn't it?
Actually, it was a book which my uncle ordered in the church. It was The Great Controversy in German, and my mother took it home because my uncle didn't came to church on this Sabbath. So I came home in my military dress, and I walked in the bedroom of my mother, and then I saw the book, and I still have it here since it's very important to me. And the name in German is Der große Kampf. And there's another book in German, and this is a book from Adolf Hitler. It's called Mein Kampf. So you see the similarity between the titles. And I never heard about Ellen G. White. So I took the book, I opened it, and it was about history. And I thought, that's interesting. And so I started to read the book.
And nothing was ever the same again. What happened next?
What happened next is that I read about persons from church history which were so close to God, so close to Jesus. They gave everything. I mean, also their lives. And I was so excited. So I read the book page by page. I couldn't stop it. And then I came to William Miller. Who in the world is William Miller? Never heard about this man. So I read his story, what is in here. I read about the Joseph Bates, and then, wow. And then I came to theology. And if you see my book, the first page are just blank, white. But if you come to the end of the book, it gets more and more colored because I discovered more and more about a loving Jesus serving in a heavenly sanctuary, coming back soon, bringing me home. I mean, that was, I couldn't believe what I read here. So this book totally changed my life. And I stopped these Nazi things. My friends couldn't believe, the people in the school couldn't believe because I lost my school education, but I had to go. So I came instead to read some Nazi stuff. I came with this book and my Bible and was sitting in my row and studying during the time when the other young people were studying whatever the teacher told them.
That's incredible. This encounter with the book taught you things that you should have already known. That's what's fascinating, is that the you discovered something new which you had heard before but had not understood completely. And I wonder, Marcus, what would you like to say to people that are watching this program that know about the different truths, but they haven't internalized it, they haven't fully comprehended and understood what they mean for their lives? What would you say to them?
What I would say to them, take this book and read it, study it for yourself and study it. Don't just fly over, take it page by page and think about it and then pray about it. It will change your life. This book is so unique. It saved my life. It changed everything what I believed in. It turned my perspectives. And this is the reason why I'm here today. And this book, as I read it, encouraged me to start to read my Bible. And I started to read my Bible again, and I discovered it in a new way. But it started with this book. Read it for yourself. Test it.
Now, Marcus, right now you're the director of many heritage centers, places that are of historic value, places that mean something to Seventh-day Adventists and other Christians, places where God moved in a very interesting way. And you're helping to preserve these places and encourage people to visit, to be able to establish their faith in a better way with their Lord Jesus Christ. But imagine now, and tell me a little bit about how you see God moving a young man from a very challenging direction, a very unfavorable direction, that is hating people, that is angry at people, and wants to do things which are only very self-serving, to someone now who is so happy about knowing Jesus and wants everyone else to know how God has led his church through history and how he'll lead them into the future. Just reflect a little bit on how God works in a miraculous way in your own life.
Yeah, I mean, without Adventist history, I wouldn't be an Adventist. So this is another secret. After I read The Great Controversy, I found this book here in German. This is Stories of My Grandmother in German. And this kid's book I read. And then the things came together for me. I thought, wow, what these people experienced with God. They gave everything. And this is not 2,000 years ago, what the Bible talks about, which is important. But that was yesterday. And I can relate to what they experienced. And that was the starting point. And as I came first time to the United States, and I had the privilege with Jim Nix to go to these heritage sites, what a difference. You can read a book, and this is important. Books are really important. But it makes a huge difference if you go to the real places where things happened. It becomes real. Here's the proof that these things I read are really happened. And you have all your senses involved, and it sticks so deeply in you. And our sites are unique. And I guess I'm convinced that we can talk about the soon second coming of Christ and proclaiming the three angels' message in a very special way. to our own people, but also to people not from our faith. Since if somebody comes who is interested in American history and in the Sea Captain Joseph Bates or the Lieutenant William Miller, he comes to learn about this person. And in the life of this person, God's plan for this world and his soon second coming will be enlightened. It is just a unique way to do a kind of evangelism. So our historic sites are more centers of influence than just museums.
Marcus, we want to ask you about some of these sites in more detail. You mentioned the story of William Miller and the impact that it had. We want to know about his farm and how people can visit today. We also want to know about Ellen White and the places that she ministered and went to, which is part of your responsibility. As you're watching this, you remember the book that Marcus mentioned, The Great Controversy. We'd like to offer that book for you for free. You just visit revivalformission.tv, revivalformission.tv. And if whatever you're experiencing in your life now, the moment for your transformation can begin when you start reading this book, which will point you to the Bible. This book is not capable of transforming, but the Bible is. Revivalformission.tv. Marcus, we have a few more questions straight after the break. Don't go away.
My brother's unexpected death shocked me into changing my life. A friend of mine said, "Why don't you do a triathlon?" So I swam and rode and ran until I discovered life is more than just human strength. I race because my health matters. I believe because my faith matters. I'm Ed. I'm a Christian. I am an Ironman. And I've discovered my whole life matters.
Welcome back. You're watching Revival for Mission. We are here with Marcus, who, as a teenager, entered the world of neo-Nazism, and then he discovered The Great Controversy, a book that changed his life. And we have some questions for him about the stories that he encountered. Marcus, you now take care of the Miller Farm. This is William Miller, who discovered in Scripture something really special that had a lot of people in his time waiting for the second coming of Jesus, what we refer to as the Great Disappointment. I visited this farm, and I would like all of us here who are watching Revival for Mission to know more about Miller and what they can find in this farm.
If you come to the William Miller farm, you will see his original farm building, which he built it by himself. And you will find a beautiful place. You really need to come, since the atmosphere of this place is so special in the woods, in the nature. And if you come, you will learn about William Miller, his early life before he became really a Christian, and he discovered the truth of the second coming of Christ. And then you will also get into the story. So when you come to a place like the William Miller Farm, you will not just listen to the stories, which are really exciting, and we have some of the original equipment, artifacts from his life. We have his bed where he died in, and you're just on the original spot. So come and see it for yourself. And then we will hopefully end up with you at the end in William Miller's chapel, and you will have a very special prayer time there, and you will listen to more stories, and you also will visit in the meantime the Ascension Rock. This is so much to say about this. You need to come and you need to experience it. This is the best way. It's better than just to talk about it.
Now, you know, the book that you talked about that changed your life so much, The Great Controversy, in German, of course, and it's in many, many languages around the world. The lady who wrote this, Ellen White, you mentioned about the book, Stories from My Grandmother, I think it was, Ellen, and that kind of thing. What is, who, for those who don't know, who is Ellen White, and why has she been so prominent in Seventh-day Adventist activity? We don't consider her to be a holier person than anyone else. She was a human being. But who was she, and how has she impacted even your life?
Okay, so I tell you how I see Ellen White. Ellen White, for me, is a person who dedicated her whole life to Jesus. She had just a so close relationship with Jesus that Jesus, I mean, used her as a prophet. He was giving her directions for this remnant church, to establish this church. And she was a woman. If you read her message, if you read the testimonies, Jesus is speaking through her. There is a message of love. And I see that on each page. It's the love of God to show you where your errors are, where you are running away from the Lord, and how he is longing for you to turn back and to come back to him. And he used Ellen White as his tool to bring that to you. So everybody who is reading Ellen White today will experience that if he is honest in reading her message to you or to us.
Marcus, thank you so much for joining us today in Revival for Mission. What an inspiring story you brought us, a story that could be many people's stories, a story of transformation. And if you're interested in Ellen White and her writings, visit revivalformission.tv, and we'll have many different links there, including Ellen White's Twitter account. No, it's not her who tweets, obviously, but you get daily quotes from her writings to bring inspiration and to connect you with the Savior Jesus Christ. Elder Wilson, why don't you share some thoughts for us today?
You know, that story, that conversion story, that testimony of Marcus's is so heart-touching because it shows us how God can take someone whose life was going in a wrong direction, in a very confused direction, a chaotic direction, and turn his mind onto things that were pure and of good report. I don't know about you today and the challenges you're facing. That same God who changed Marcus's life can change your direction as well as you think about things of eternal value. I'm drawn to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. And it says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, noble, just, lovely, pure, good report, virtue, praiseworthy, meditate on these things." When God takes your mind and takes control of you, you head in a wonderful direction as you focus your attention on the things of eternal value. God has a special work for you to do. God be with you. We'll see you again on Revival for Mission.